Page 167. Book 5. Chapter 1. How 12 aged ambassadors of Rome came to King Arthur to demand truage for Britain. When King Arthur had, after long war, rested and held a royal feast and table round with his allies of kings, princes, and noble knights, all of the round table, there came into his hall, he sitting on his throne royal, 12 ancient men, bearing each of them a branch of olive, in token that they came as ambassadors and messengers from the Emperor Lucius, which was called at that time dictator or procurer of the public weal of Rome, which said messengers, after their entering and coming into the presence of King Arthur, did to him their obedience, in making to him reverence, said to him in this wise, "The high and mighty Emperor Lucius sendeth to the King of Britain greeting, commanding thee to acknowledge him for thy lord, and to send him the truage due of this realm unto the umpire, which thy father and other two-four thy predecessors have paid, as is of record, and thou as rebel, not knowing him as thy sovereign, withholdest and retainest, contrary to the statutes and decrees made by the noble and worthy Julius Caesar, conqueror of this realm and first emperor of Rome. And if thou refuse his demand and commandment, know thou for certain that he shall make strong war against thee, thy realms and lands, and shall chastise thee and thy subjects, that it shall be example perpetual unto all kings and princes for to deny their truage unto that noble empire which dominateth, footnote, holds away upon the universal world." Then when they had showed the effect of their message, the king commanded them to withdraw them, and said he should take advice of counsel and give to them an answer. Page 168. Then some of the young knights, hearing this their message, would have run on them to have slain them, saying that it was a rebuke to all the knights there being present to suffer them to say so to the king. And anon the king commanded that none of them, upon pain of death, to missay them, nay do them any harm, and commanded a knight to bring them to their lodging, and say that they have all that is necessary and requisite for them, with their best cheer, with the best cheer, and that no dainty be spared, for the Romans be great lords, and though their message please me not, nor my court, yet I must remember mine honor. After this the king let call all his lords and knights of the round table to counsel upon this matter, and desired them to say their advice. Then Sir Cador of Cornwall spake first and said, "Sir, this message liketh me well, for we have many days rested us, and have been idle, and now I hope ye shall make sharp war on the Romans, where I doubt not we shall get honor." "I believe well," said Arthur, "that this matter pleaseth thee well, but these answers may not be answered, for the demand giveth me sore, for truly I will never pay truage to Rome, wherefore I pray you to counsel me. I have understand that Belinus and Brennius, kings of Britain, have had the empire in their hands many days, and also Constantine, the son of Helenine, which is an open evidence that we owe no tribute to Rome, but of right we that be descended of them have right to claim the title of the empire." Page 169. Chapter 2. How the kings and lords promised to King Arthur aid and help against the Romans. Then answered King Agwisance of Scotland, "Sir, ye ought of right to be above all other kings, for unto you is none like none ni pariel, footnote, equal, in Christendom, of knighthood, ni of dignity, and I counsel you never to obey the Romans, for when they reigned on us, they distressed our elders and put this land to great extortions and tallies. Footnote, taxes. Wherefore I make here mine a vow to avenge me on them, and for to strength your quarrel, I shall furnish 20,000 good men of war, and wage them on my costs, which shall await on you with myself when it shall please you. And the king of Little Britain granted him to the same 30,000, wherefore King Arthur thanked them. And then every man agreed to make war, and to aid after their power, that is to wit, the Lord of West Wales promised to bring 30,000 men, and Sir Ewan, Sir Idris, his son, with their cousins, promised to bring 30,000. Then Sir Lancelot, with all other, promised in likewise every man a great multitude. And when King Arthur understood their courages and good wills, he thanked them heartily, and after let call the ambassadors to hear their answer. And in presence of all his lords and knights, he said to them in this wise, I will that ye return unto your lord and procure of the common weal for the Romans, and say ye to him, of his demand and commandment I set nothing, and that I know of no truage nay tribute that I owe to him, ne to none earthly prince, Christian ne heathen, but I pretend to have and occupy the sovereignty of the empire, wherein I am entitled by the right of my predecessors, sometimes kings of this land, and say to him that I am delibred. Footnote, considered, and fully concluded to go with mine army with strength and power unto Rome by the grace of God, to take possession in the empire and subdue them that be rebel. Wherefore I command him and all them of Rome that in continent forthwith they make to me their homage and to acknowledge me for their emperor and governor upon pain that shall ensue. And then he commanded his treasurer to give to them great and large gifts and to pay all their dispenses, and assigned Sir Cador to convey them out of the land. Page 170. And so they took their leave and departed and took their shipping at Sandwich and passed forth by Flanders, Almain, the mountains, and all Italy until they came into Lucius. And after the reverence made, they made a relation of their answer, like as ye tofore have heard. When the Emperor Lucius had well understood their credence, footnote, message, he was sore moved as he had been all enraged, and said, I had supposed that Arthur would have obeyed to my commandment, and have served you himself, as him well beseemed, or any other knight, or any other king to do. O sir, said one of the senators, let be such vain words, for we let you wit that I and my fellows were full sore afeared to behold his countenance. I fear me ye have made a rod for yourself, for he intendeth to be lord of this empire, which sore is to be doubted if he come, for he is all another man than ye ween, and holdeth the most noble court of the world. All other kings, nay princesses, may not compare unto his noble maintain, footnote, manner of life. On New Year's Day we saw him in his estate, which was the royalest that ever we saw, for he was served at his table with nine kings, and the noblest fellowship of other princes, lords, and knights that be in the world, and every knight approved and like a lord, holdeth table round, and in his person the most manly man that liveth, and is like to conquer all the world, for unto his courage it is too little. Wherefore I advise you to keep well your marches and straits in the mountains, for certainly he is a lord to be doubted. Well, said Lucius, before Easter I suppose to pass the mountains and so forth into France, and there bereave him his lands with Genesee. and other mighty warriors of Tuscany and Lombardy, and I shall send for them all that be subjects and allied to the empire of Rome to come to mine aid, and forthwith sent old wise knights unto these countries following, first to Ambage and Araj, and to Alexandria, to India, to Armenia, whereas the river of Euphrates runneth into Asia, to Africa and Europe the large, to Ertain and Elmai, to Araby, Egypt, and Damascus, to Damita and Kar, to Cappadocia, to Tarsus, Turkey, Pontus, Pamphylia, to Syria and Galatia. Page 171. And all these were subject to Rome, and many more, as Greece, Cyprus, Macedonia, Calabria, Caitland, Portugal, with many thousands of Spaniards. Thus all these kings, dukes, and admirals assembled about Rome with 16 kings at once, with great multitude of people. When the emperor understood their coming, he made ready his Romans and all the people between him and Flanders. Also he had gotten with him 50 giants, which had been engendered of fiends, and they were ordained to guard his person and to break the front of the battle of King Arthur. And thus departed from Rome and came down the mountains for to destroy the lands that Arthur had conquered, and came into Cologne and besieged a castle thereby, and won it soon, and stuffed it with 200 Saracens or infidels, and after destroyed many fair countries which Arthur had won of King Claudius. And thus Lucius came with all his host, which were dispersed. Footnote, dispersed, 60 miles in breadth, and commanded them to meet with him in Burgundy, for he purposed to destroy the realm of Little Britain. Chapter 3. How King Arthur held a parliament at York, and how he ordained how the realm should be governed in his absence. Now leave we of Lucius the emperor, and speak we of King Arthur, that commanded all of them of his retinue to be ready at the Utus, footnote, octave, eighth day after the festival, of Hilary, for to hold a parliament at York. And at that parliament was concluded to arrest all the navy of the land, and to be ready within 15 days at Sandwich. There he showed to his army how he purposed to conquer the empire, which he ought to have of right. And there he ordained two governors of this realm, that is to say, Sir Baldwin of Britain, for to counsel to the best, and Sir Constantine, son to Sir Cador of Cornwall, which after the death of Arthur was king of this realm. Endnote 1, page 172. And in the presence of all his lords, he resigned the rule of the realm, and governor his queen to them, wherefore Sir Lancelot was worth, for he left Sir Tristram with King Mark for the love of Belle Isoud. Then the Queen Guinevere made great sorrow for the departing of her lord and other, and swooned in such wise that the ladies bare her into her chamber. Thus the king with his great army departed, leaving the queen and realm in the governance of Sir Baldwin and Constantine. And when he was on his horse, he said with a high voice, "If I die in this journey, I will that Sir Constantine be mine heir and king crowned of this realm as next of my blood." And after departed and entered to the sea at Sandwich with all his army, with a great multitude of ships, galleys, cogs, footnote, broadly built ships, and dromons, footnote, large ships, sailing on the sea. Chapter 4. How King Arthur, being shipped and lying in his cabin, had a marvelous dream, and of the exposition thereof. And as the king lay in his cabin in the ship, he fell in a slumbering and dreamed a marvelous dream. He seemed that a dreadful dragon did